Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Okay, welcome to the first episode of Reality Check. That's, I guess, we're going to just call it from this point, Reality Check. We're going to be talking about real issues. We're going to be talking about alternative medicine. We're going to be talking about any number of topics with regard to what's really going on in our world today. I have two guests tonight, Clint Richardson. He is a researcher, recently an author, a radio show host of the Corporation Nation, documentary filmmaker, documentaries on, one called The Corporation Nation, where he breaks everything down and kind of basically tells the commoners that they're commoners and where we've been lied to about the entire system and much more. And also vaccine injury-related documentaries. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Clint's going to drop some information on us tonight that's very, very powerful, very passionate. Clint is very passionate about what he does, and his work shows that in many different ways. And my other guest is Jimmy Hallman. He is the CEO of Pulse Technology Research. He is COO of Bioenergetics and Pulse Technologies, SRL, European Union, Bucharest, Romania. I know that Jimmy's been overseas working with these types of technologies. Jimmy, since 1969, has been involved in proprietary research and development in many areas of highly technical design, including electronic warfare, electronic surveillance, signal intelligence, exotic signal processing, advanced superconductor development, and specialized studies for both domestic and foreign governments and agencies. Jimmy has been extensively researching resonant frequency technology since approximately 1995 with intense focus on the positive effects and natural responses of a biological nature for person, environmental, medical, commercial, and industrial applications. Although Mr. Hallman is based in Dallas, Texas, much of his proprietary work of Pulse Technologies is being securely carried out abroad, specifically in Eastern Europe. So welcome, Clint. Welcome, Jimmy. Jimmy, your work, it comes into play on so many levels. You have done so many things as far as health related, helping people. I know Jordan has done the same. Clint has studied vaccines. He's studied just the natural law, made documentary films, as I said, and he's in the rabbit hole. Boom. Clint's flying through it at maximum speed, and he's grabbing and doing some of the most incredible research on that end, as you are doing with Pulse Technologies. So welcome, both of you. We're going to have a conversation tonight. I guess we'll just take it wherever it needs to go, we're going to use this platform to expand reality, expand people's information that they don't know about, and hopefully we're gonna make some changes. We're gonna do some things. And the other day I read something. It was kind of like it was a meme. It said those who are born into a world that they don't fit into are most likely here to create the next world or the next, you know, the next life or something like that. So it really kind of was very profound. I liked it because I feel for a long time now that, you know, with the information that I have in my own personal journey, that I don't fit in here because I see people living what I found out through Clint to be a fiction. I mean, they think they're happy. They might be happy, but they're living in this fictional reality that another group of people created, and they're living off us. We are the host, they are the parasite, and the willful ignorance, the cognitive dissonance is palatable, and it just really. On certain days, I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe that this is, I can't believe that I'm experiencing this. And, you know, but I don't think that I would turn back and go back. I don't know, but, welcome again. That was my opening. So I appreciate you both being here tonight, and I look forward to a really explosive conversation about these topics.
Well, it's a pleasure being here, and I think we're going to have a really nice conversation. The one of the things that got me into this is my realization, and thanks for being so tactful about my bio, but I realized long ago that what we're talking about medicine probably is, in the technology I'm dealing with, it probably has more in common with Soviet weapons development than it does Western medicine. But I think that's where the straw man info is going to come in to play and be really interesting tonight.
Okay. So, Jimmy, you mentioned that you just started. Is it a publication called The Electric Human?
We decided to, I'm working with Dr. Steve Haltwanger, and we decided to write a book. When I got into this technology or whatever it was, I realized there was so much bad information out there, and it just bothered me, and it needed to be a good source to have good, positive, well-founded information. And so we started to write and collect some of the things we've collected all of our lives, and realized it was going to be way too big of a book. Mm-hmm. So big that nobody could afford it. And even as in the ebook, it was still too big when I started checking to Amazon and Kindle. Just the distribution of it would be cost prohibitive for us,
right?
Because you actually pay for the distribution, mm-hmm. Embedded into the price. But and also the fact that we needed so many illustrations and photographs that it was just going to be cost prohibitive. So with that in mind, we started putting it online in pieces, each of which is downloadable, usable, printable, and redistributable.
Okay.
We've done the copyrights in a very special manner, but we put that all out at pulsetechresearch.com. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to sell on that website.
Okay.
It's all free, and we tried to keep the things in bite-sized pieces and organized, and you can see where we're going with that.
Mm-hmm.
But people need the info so that they can make informed decisions and realize what's going on.
Right.
And just it's not a pretty site.
Right. To give you an idea, right before, and I've been to your site before, pulsetechnologies.com. I went there tonight to just kind of get re-familiarize myself with your information. And darn it, didn't I get one of those, this site is, it's risky, you don't want to go here? I'm sure you both seen
it. I wouldn't be surprised.
And so I was like,
probably has to do with one of the scripts that's on it.
Right.
It's safe, but that is a Google thing, I believe.
Okay.
And they constantly have to change it out. But Pulse Tech Research is the site, the other site,
mm-hmm.
the pulsetech.com website.
Okay.
And I don't think you'll get that with Pulse Tech Research. And I don't know why, because they're basically the same.
Okay. So the reason why I think that, and as I said to you prior to this, I said, I don't think that there are any coincidences. I believe that through my journey, I connected with Jordy, and then to you, and then eventually with Greg, and then to Clint, and now I don't know. I'm not going to say that things have come full circle, but Clint's research that he's done in the medical aspects of things, I mean, his research into natural law and the Bible, just absolutely, it shakes you to the core so much, because we've been so misled, we've been so deceived, and then of course Clint he didn't stop there. He went I don't know whether it was vaccines or natural law first, but then we get to Prion. I start hearing this Prion. I'm listening to his program over. He was on RBN, and I'm saying, "What is this Prion stuff? Who is this guy, Patrick Jordan?" And then I read the blog that I shared with you, Jimmy, about mm-hmm. the xenotransplantation and the prions. And so Clint, take it from there.
Well, we came up with the theory, basically, that the only way we're ever going to be able to heal ourselves, and this is interesting because it's not often that you meet someone who is specializing in, say, frequency or some other form of technology that is actually designed for health. Generally, you find people are trying to transform the body, transcend the body, transhumanize the body, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so just to be clear on my end, that is your goal there, my friend, correct? You're a healing scientist as opposed to a, let's just call it, one who wishes to see the evolution of man through electronic means.
Correct.
Yeah, well, there's a few of like you that I've met out there. Dr. A. Truott would be one of them over at Mother Earth Minerals. Of course,
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Holda Clark and a few. So I commend you for actually being in that type of position where you've studied Rife and I assume several other names that I would have to look up to remember. I will say that between mine and Patrick's research, we have come up with the theory anyway that really the only solution to this plague that I call it, which is prional disease. It's not so much a disease of prions, but a disease that affects healthy prions and transforms them or evolves them, misfolds them, and allows all the disease to happen. And I really do believe that it is a frequency effect that will in the end be what, if you will, cures or I suppose resets the natural harmony of these proteins in the body that are supposed to be there to protect from cancer and to protect from so many diseases. So, but you know that. Basically puts me to the point where, as we've discussed, Charlie, my opinion personally is, and the opinion of Patrick, who's done so much, Patrick Jordan, who's done so much research on this, is that all disease is caused by this sort of misfolding of the protective prional structure of the body, all the cells, everything in the brain, all these amyloid plaques and everything else. Is basically it's through vaccination, and I believe only through vaccination are there forms of injection into the body, something that bypasses all the natural functionalities and defenses of the body, that we suddenly have what you can only call an infection of foreign prions or proteins that have literally gone in and attempted to rearrange the body, causing a sort of disharmony operating in a frequency, if you will, that's not according to the quote-unquote human health frequency, if you will. And so that's kind of, in a nutshell, I think what the prion agenda, as what's his name calls it, Patrick calls it, is that, you know, all these different dementias, all these different quote unquote diseases are all basically revolving around this unharmonious state or infected state, if you will, of prions. So
I believe you said something in one of the first part of your statement that was really the key to the whole thing, and it was not so much the frequency specific, but the disruption that is done by these various things. You talked about the unfolding, and while that can be frequency as a contributing factor, it was the any disruption that is causing this disruption to the natural signals that are supposed to be there, that are either being miscommunicated intentionally via the insertion of something that is not real or something that is foreign, be it a chemical or whatever. But that disruption, I think, is the key.
Well,
and that's what we're dealing with, too.
Yeah, well, like I said, and as I questioned you in the beginning, was, you know, are you looking for you're searching and you're trying to apply the healthy frequency of the body of the human cells, as opposed to what Rife did, which was to single out each individual amoeba and life form and buzz it with a frequency that was very unhealthy.
Yeah.
So what I find so interesting is Jimmy is the way that they test for prions. This is what really threw me over the edge and really made me start to understand what we're dealing with. We're dealing with something that can be activated and inactivated by frequency when we're talking about these prions. The way that they actually test in an autopsy specifically for prion disease and in the labs whenever they're doing tests is something that you really should look at. It's called prion misfolding cyclic amplification. It's very similar to another form, which is DNA amplification. But they basically hit they'll take some healthy human form prions, and they'll mix in some infected, so, you know, whether it's scrappy from sheep or from cows, which causes mad cow disease and variable transmissible encephalopathy, spongiform encephalopathy in man. All these different, you know, deer wasting disease is also a prion disease, which we see very much so, a feline leukemia, all those types of things. We see those manifesting as AIDS. We see them manifesting as autism. We see them manifesting as wasting disease in humans. So this protein misfolding cyclic amplification, they literally incubate a small amount of abnormal or non-human, you know, prion protein, and they mix it with a big bunch of normal protein, and it just sits there until they bombard it with a frequency. And that frequency just happens to be ultrasound, the same ultrasound that they use for, you know, hey, let's take a look at your baby. Let's bombard it with ultrasound. Well, this is a frequency that actually awakens the foreign prions, the misfolding or infectious prions that will actually attach themselves, reprogram and unfold the healthy prions until you get literally holes in the brain or different organs. And so that's why I'm so kind of interested in this. Is kind of serendipitous, because basically our phones and all these different signals that are going all about us, our computers, are all hitting us with this ultrasound frequency. And so what I kind of meant was that you're looking for the healthy frequency when at the same time these people are bombarding us, and they know that this type of ultrasound frequency actually will awaken the beast, and it will start causing you literally to evolve or misfold, and you'll start changing into whatever, like I said, if it's a scrappy, an infectious scrappy, which causes TSE, same thing as mad cow disease in humans.
So Clint, when they mix the regular prions with the other ones, they hit it with the ultrasound, And then what happens? Does it tag to it? Is it tag to it?
They can lie. They say that the prion can lie dormant for up to 50 years before it suddenly just goes awake and starts doing its thing, starts attaching and misfolding, causing Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and ALS and all these different so-called dementias, which are all the same disease, a prion disease with different names, because really all the names are for different symptoms. So the prions are bombarded with this ultrasound technology, protein misfolding cyclic amplification, and it causes spongiform encephalopathy within that brain cell. In other words, the infectious prions that would otherwise be dormant are awakened by that frequency, and they start attacking the healthy brain cell by attaching and reprogramming the human protein into a scrappy or sheep protein and affected a different form, which causes disease. Of course, it basically nullifies the purpose of the prion. So if that prion's there to protect from cancer, it can't do it anymore.
There you go.
I've recently written an article on the electropollution and earth resonance. And the research that I was doing for that.
Oh, the Schumann?
Yes. That's what that article was largely about, but about the brainwave activity. I've written several follow-up articles. Actually, I put a bunch of the articles, including the one that I'm working on. But it goes into exactly what you're talking about. It's about understanding and surviving in today's toxic, electropolluted environment. I know that's a long name, but it's necessary. The Schumann necessary resonance is necessary for us from various aspects, but are the energies that we have to keep those natural processes and signals amplified. They're terribly weak right now, especially with the continued assaults and the added intentional vaccine type assaults. But going back to Gervich and Koznishnev, I believe Koznishnev is still alive, but he was working on bioweapons that only had electromagnetic cures. When the Soviet Union fell, the biological work that they were doing was declassified or sold off one way or another, but the electromagnetic cure parts remain classified. But as you get into these things, you are beginning to understand how these signals are basically being destroyed in us. The electropollution is a big, big problem. We've looked at some of these Schumann generators, and when I got into it, one of the first articles that I wrote, I think it is the one I just mentioned on the earth resonance one. I talked about the first Soviet craft that a man's craft that went out. The most of us think of Yuri Gagarin was the first man in space, but that's probably not true. He was the first one that came back in good enough shape that they could present to the public. As soon as you get out of the Schumann resonance, you lose an incredible amount of energy. They've known for a long time that the amount of electricity in the cells and the metabolic processes cannot be accounted for by the chemical processes. And in around 1986, they realized what it was that we were getting. We're literally getting a lot of that energy that keeps these processes amplified and powered. But with all the electropollution that is occurring, much of which is intentional, the Soviets were doing it to us for a while. In fact, that was the key to a piece of equipment we designed. It's destroying a lot of these processes that are used to correct and keep these energetic levels up high enough that your body can take care of them. So as a result, our bodies are terribly weak. Our immune systems are way down, and we're getting miscommunication of a lot of the signals, such as the prion, various prion diseases. But there are some solutions to it. It's just that you have to really seek it out. And most people don't understand the problem even is there because it's an invisible problem to them.
Well, Clint, you also just within the last couple of weeks, and I think Patrick shared this with me when he was on with me about a week ago, that the FDA or the World Health Organization just ended their panel, this group of people that would meet regarding Alzheimer's or prion or something like that. Then they just end their research on that. Clear it up if I'm off target on it.
Yeah, let me pull up the email just to be accurate. But it was sent to me by my counterpart in England, whose son died of a prion disease, of TSE, transmissible spongiform encephalopathy. And I'm trying to think. I got to pull it up in my
Take
email.
Take your time, man. Take your time. We're on the reality check here on this talk show platform with Clint Richardson of the Corporation Nation and CEO of Pulse Technologies, Jimmy Holman. We're talking about some of the most important information that you probably never heard about before. If you keep listening or if you listen to this in the future, you heed the warning, on, the information that you're going to hear tonight and in episodes, to come. So, I like to say, like I said, I was talking to people the other night. I try to kind of reel it in around the people that I work with. I think that because I talk about so many like bizarre things that are happening, that they try to alienate me, but I think that they can't help but like me. I don't know. I guess I'm a likable person, but I think they get a lot of. Because people love the science fiction. They love the things that they think are impossible, but you know, like, oh, you're just, oh, stop it with that. And I'm like, no, you stop, you know, and we just kind of go back and forth. But, there's a lot of, cognitive dissonance out there and I see a lot. Go ahead,
Chris. Yeah, unfortunately, this stuff gets really interesting though, when you start actually realizing that we're not the first to be talking about this, that the, you know, the Gnostics called it the demented brain parasites or Gaia spore. There's all kinds of names for the different parasitic forms of life out there that have gone out in different cultures and been warned about and, of course, suppressed. So it's actually kind of even more fascinating when you realize all we're doing, my friend, is uncovering what's been occulted, you know, and that's kind of fascinating. In Tokyo in 2016, they came out with a study, a very, very famous, you know, well-produced study, the potential of CWD, which is Christoph Jakob's disease, basically prions. Department of Biological Sciences and Center for Prions and Prion Misfolding or Folding Diseases, University of Alberta, Edmonton, Canada, and the Department of Pathology, National Prion Disease Pathology Surveillance Center, which is Cleveland, Ohio, and, of course, the one in China, Tokyo, China or Japan? I'm losing it here. It says chronic wasting disease, or CWD, is a widespread and highly transmissible prion disease in free-ranging and captive cervid species in North America. So China is reporting how bad North America is with prion disease. The zoonotic potential of CWD prions is a serious public health concern. Well, what's a public health concern? That's us. That's not your cows or your chickens or your goats or your dogs. when you talk about public health, they're talking about us. But the susceptibility of human CNS and peripheral organs to CW prions remains largely unresolved. We reported earlier their peripheral and CNS infections were detected in transgenic mice expressing the human PRP or propion cells, proteins. Here we will present an update, et cetera. So after that came out, well, then the U.S. government just came out and said from the Department of Health and Services, Food and Drug Administration, Advisory Committee on Transmissible Spongiform Encephalopathies is now terminated. Final ruling, a summary is that the Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, is announcing the termination of the Transmissible Spongiform Encephalopathies Advisory Committee. And it's removing it from the agency's list of standing advisory committees effective June 9th, 2016. And they're basically saying that it's no longer a problem. And we know that it is actually more of a problem now than it ever has been, especially noting that he who was infected anywhere from 10 to 50 years ago can still suddenly express the traits and die within a year or 6 months, depending on which part of the body or mind it's affecting. So talking about as what's his name, Rhodes, can't think of his first name,
Cecil.
Sorry.
Cecil?
No, not Cecil. This guy, Rhodes, he won the Pulitzer for his book.
Oh, right.
Their book was
Deadly Feast,
and you know he warned that the epidemic of the future are these, and this was in the 80s, were these this dormant what they called back then a slow virus, which we now know is something quite more sinister actually, and so there you have it. We're basically experiencing a shutdown of the advisory committee on prionyl research into spongiform encephalopathy. And please understand that the only way that you know that your parents, or now we have what, you know, we have early onset Alzheimer's disease. We have, apologize for my phone. We have early onset this and early onset that. It's no longer an old age disease because it's has nothing to do with age. It has to do with these little bastards awakening and causing, wreaking havoc on the neural capacity. And so, you know, We're talking about something that can literally be, as we said before, can be awakened by your cell phone. If that's, you know, if it's time, I don't know. It's a scary thought. It's a very scary thought. And we're talking about all these dementias. That the only way that you know you have a prion disease is if you get your grandma, who you know with all your heart and soul, died of Alzheimer's disease. But we have to realize when they say Alzheimer's disease, they're talking about a bunch of symptoms that they've classified into a specific category so that they can create drugs for that particular description of symptoms. That's not the disease. That's the symptoms of the disease. We call the symptoms as Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, or Bix. There's so many different forms of dementia, every single one of them has been linked back to prionyl disease. And again, unless you do an autopsy and you perform some measure of testing where you're actually bombarding the autopsy cells or proteins, then you can't really know that your parents or your children are actually afflicted with a prion disease, not a quote-unquote dementia, because dementia is a description of symptoms, not a disease. Right.
And I read this today, just kind of at work, kind of a few news stories popped up. And this is in people.com. So this is People Magazine. Ohio teen dies from brain-eating amoeba after visiting North Carolina water park with church group. Authorities are investigating the death of an Ohio teen who may have contracted a brain-eating amoeba during a visit to a popular North Carolina water park. Lauren Seitz, 18, was visiting this water park in Charlotte. So long story short, the youth group returned home to Ohio on June 11th, and Lauren died about 8 days later. All right. Now, to go down here to get a little bit, the workers with the Centers for Disease Control arrived at the facility Wednesday to conduct an investigation that includes the testing of the water at this particular water park. And so I've been hearing things about this brain-eating amoeba. The scientific term for amoeba seats contracted is primary amoebic meningoencephalitis, an infection caused by now Glaria fowleri, which I'm sure Patrick would know that, or possibly know that, which is an organism that does not cause illness if swallowed, but can be fatal if forced up the nose. It is naturally present in warm lakes during the summertime.
Yeah, and see, this brings me to the point of blaming this on vaccines or insulin or anything that you're injecting, any kind of blood products, anything that's using animal parts or human aborted fetal tissue, like many vaccines do, and soon to be all vaccines will be made out of aborted fetal tissue that's cloned over and over. So, as it said, I don't believe for a second that you can get a transmissible form of encephalopathy, a prion disease, through eating meat. I don't believe it for a second. I believe it can only be transferred, as this said, by either breathing in particles. The English, the Crown actually puts out a warning in their
for the Rose Garden stuff.
Horticulture Society, that every year when people are using fertilizer, they're using bone meal in their flowers, and they say cover your nose or put a mask on when using bone meal because it can spread prion disease. Right, that's going up your nose. Anything that's going into the body where it shouldn't, and you know, we talked about them spraying it.
Right, that was in Wired magazine. Yeah,
spraying it and actually infecting rats by spraying it in their cages. So we're talking about something that's highly infectious, but not necessarily if you eat it. When you eat things, it's going through the natural process, and your body's expelling it. Now, that it might be interesting to consider that since everybody out there has a leaky gut from all these different infections that are caused, again, by poor nutrition and frequency issues, well, then that might be a different story. But it has to get into the blood. It has to get into the body in a way that it normally wouldn't. And that the only way to do that is to get stung by a needle.
What was that? Sorry, right away when I think of mist and I think of, you know, spray, I automatically think of geoengineering and wonder, you know, what that effect it has. And then it's something that I've heard over a number of years. I'm sure you both have heard it, that, you know, eating meat that is burnt or eating, you know, overcooking or heating carbohydrates, heating any kind of food or burning it can create these carcinogens. And then I'm thinking, oh, okay, so is this burning of the meat creating these mutant proteins or these misfolded proteins as well? So they say don't do that because it's carcinogenic. And is that possibly what they're saying, what they mean? Like when it burns the protein, it mutates it. And the body has to, you know, process that.
I think the underlying cause of disease is not, you could eat 20 pounds of cancer tomorrow and not develop cancer. I think the problem is that the body is out of tune with itself. It's being misfolded, mistreated, and what would normally protect ourselves from cancer is being altered in a way that it can no longer function to fight against a cancer. That is what's causing cancer.
It's a little bit of everything.
Because, I mean, at those standards, we should all have cancer and have died a long time ago because we've all eaten these carcinogenics. Nothing is carcinogenic necessarily unless the body can't fight it. Well, what we're talking about here is the systematic reset of the entire epigenome of the human body. We're talking about flipping on and off switches through vaccination. We're talking about all kinds of parasitic things that go in there and switch on and off expressions of disease. We also found out that vaccines do indeed work, but they work in a very different way. They actually go in and you'll still get the disease, but you won't get the symptoms. Oh, look, I got mumps, but I didn't get any bumps. I didn't get any expression, any rash. And it turns out that this is a very necessary part of life to get these diseases, because it actually turns on and off our epigenome, our programming switches to be safe from certain cancers and certain diseases. So by getting a disease and expressing the symptoms, we're actually less susceptible to certain other kinds of diseases. And by altering the course of the disease, what we call childhood diseases, we're actually affecting the body in a way that it doesn't actually get that sort of reprogramming and future sort of, if you will, programming of the epigenome to prevent the disease in the future. So people who get vaccinated for measles, for instance, have a 2,000% higher chance of getting certain kinds of cancer because their body hasn't been sort of, and I don't know how to explain it, but the machine hasn't been turned on to create the antibody to that disease, or it hasn't been turned on to recognize the cry for help when your fighter T cells or, you know, fighter B cells or whatever they are come and make the little phone call and say, hey, we've got something attacking this cell, we need help. Goes into your blood, your bone marrow, and out come the antibodies, right? Well, if that signal, that frequency is being interrupted, if something's locking on to the receptors of these cells and proteins so that they can't actually attach and cause other cells to be created out of the immune system, well, then there is no way that you're going to fight a disease, see? So we have to start thinking of disease for what it is, which is what I think our good friend here is exclaiming, is that the body is out of tune. It's not in frequency. It's not healthy enough to fight disease. And I wouldn't even say it's not healthy enough. It's actually being reprogrammed to the point where it cannot possibly provide a defense.
In many ways, that is what I'm saying. But that really isn't the whole story either. It's that it's not able to communicate loud enough because all these external signals that have been injected, eaten, many of those signals are louder and more disruptive than the natural signals that are supposed to be going on. And that's what we are seeing. I have worked with a Dr. Ivan Danhoff, who came up with this, it's not a drug. It is a controlled substance, according to the FDA. And it had about an 80 some odd percent cure rate on cancer, or any 87% cure rate on terminal cancer patients. But what it actually did, I set him down and had him walk me through the procedure of what was going on. And the molecule was an extremely long chain sugar. And it connected to the white blood cells, and it gave off 5 instructions to that cell. In the course of our conversation, I realized it was not used up in any way. It was only a messenger molecule. And no different than if we had plugged a floppy disk, if any of us can remember floppy disks, just plugging a floppy disk into the computer, the program is set, the white blood cell does the 5 instructions that it's supposed to do. It gave off interferon gamma. It did a temperature reset on the cells. It started reproduction of the white blood cells, and it boosted up the immune system, and it did one other thing that was irrelevant to any of the processes. But basically, all it did was put the immune system, the white blood cells specifically, into hyperdrive. They actually started working in an enormous way. They did exactly what they're supposed to be doing, but probably weren't doing in the normal environment, at least not nowadays.
Well, they sort of extra charge.
That too. But so much of what goes on in our fighting of almost any disease is really dependent on our some of the chemicals that are supposed to navigate our body at night, especially.
Yes.
When the melatonin gets released from the pineal gland, most of us have sleep disruptions now. Very few of us get normal sleep,
mm-hmm.
or even the close to the production of melatonin that we're supposed to have,
right.
Because of looking at a computer. Something as simple as looking at a computer at night
mm-hmm.
for any length of time is going to shut that melatonin production down.
Yeah, I saw that.
It isn't going to occur till the next day.
Right. I saw that from the computer screen, from a cell phone, from, I would imagine, from a Kindle, any kind of device
yeah.
at night that produces the kind of light, that emits the kind of light that it does, it does exactly what you just said.
But it's even worse than that. Even if you didn't have that, many of these electromagnetic signals that we have hit that pineal gland, and I've even had people refer it, they see flashes of light, even when they're laying in bed, they will see flashes of light. And guess what? They really are seeing flashes of light, but it's typically a burst of energy from their smart meter or something, you know, their cell phone or whatever going off. It is doing those triggers that is preventing these things from occurring. Melatonin happens to be one of the most powerful antioxidants we have that basically scavenges for all the free radicals.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of our most important anti-carcinogens that we have that's supposed to work every night, and in most people it is a fraction of what it should be.
Right. So not only is the body supposed to get the rest that it needs, but also the process at which the body detoxifies itself from the day.
Correct.
Is not working either.
Correct. And if it's interrupted, it's not going to work till the next day, till the next 24 hours away. And that's actually what got me into that project with the that we were talking about Schumann. After they installed my smart meter, I started going downhill. And I immediately recognized it when that occurred.
Right.
I would have thought that would have been conspiracy, but when I experienced it firsthand, it made me do a quick look at things. And of course, my background is such that I was able to recognize a lot of things that most others wouldn't.
You had Rulo, right? You had the Rulo where your blood, where your
were
sticking together.
Yeah, and it looked like a stack of nickels.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and definitely was. I'm doing great now, and it was probably one of the best things I ever did.
What did you do? How did you get rid? You said that you were in the flooding and you almost died.
Oh, yeah, that's I had to. My niece is fixing to be stationed in. Actually, she is stationed in Germany now, and her boyfriend is leaving for Afghanistan. So I needed to go see them because I'm probably not going to see either one of them for a couple of years. So I was driving out to East Texas. And little did I know there was a tornado and flash flooding going on. And I got caught in all of that. And within 1.5 to 2 seconds, my Jeep Grand Cherokee, I had water over the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a good situation.
Right.
I got the dog and I got myself and the dog out with their life. And everything else was pretty much a total loss. But I feel fine about that.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me
so how did you? And I said, thank God, because you got a lot of really important work to do. How did you rectify the smart meter thing? Did you have them remove it, or what happened?
No. Even if they did that, my next door neighbor's got a smart meter. Every one of the neighbors is going to have a smart meter. And I had actually gotten an instrument to watch my sleep at night to see how many times I was disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
And I could look at the plot of that, and I could see the spots where my meter was going off every hour. I could see a peak that was not quite as strong every hour, maybe 8 minutes after the hour, another one. So I could see when all my meters were going, all these meters around me were going off, because even though I didn't remember it at night, I knew I didn't sleep well, but I could see where each one of them was disturbing my sleep, approximately 37, 38 times a night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good sleep.
No, it's not.
But anyway, I went out and started looking to buy something, and I realized, this is not what's out there is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew what the Russians had been doing at the height of the Cold War. They were bombarding us with a signal that was made to it was at about 10 hertz. It was made to disturb our cognitive functions. I was also aware of work that had been done in, I believe it was East Germany, that was assigned to various civil servants, agents, that they carried with them to help them. And all it was a simple Schumann resonance generator that they carried on their body to help combat that incoming magnetic signal.
And that's with anything. I mean, that's with a smart meter, a Wi-Fi.
Correct. Well, in the case of the Russians, it was intentional, and is long range, and it was intentional. It is Tesla technology. But so, and right now, the normal Schumann resonances that we're supposed to have, most people think of Schumann resonance as 7.83. There's actually a lot more frequencies than that. And I'm not talking about harmonics. I'm talking about very specific. There's about half a dozen very specific frequencies that are Schumann.
Mm-hmm.
And they peak differently. But our brainwaves, if you look at our brainwave states, they're almost identical. All our brainwave peaks match up within just a small fraction of a hertz.
Right.
Of the others. So that we evolved in that Schumann resonance, but today we can't, we cannot even measure unless we go to some remote places on Earth
right.
to get that. And this resonance is actually our clock signal. Now I talked briefly about the astronauts earlier. It's not only a clock signal, for our bodies and these various mechanisms, it's also a source of our energy. And that gets a little bit more deep to actually talk about, but we inductively receive some of that energy that powers our many of the functions, keeps these things amplified. But we're so weak right now, so many of these processes, even the cell reproduction, it's just not working the way it's supposed to. Much of it may be by design, but we're doing it to ourselves.
You mentioned interferon, and the key part that plays in everything. And like I said, I explain interferon. I usually explain it by saying it's a cell phone call or a cell phone signal that gets sent out. It's a protein basically gets sent out, and it has to connect with something else in order for the immune system to send back out the B cells, the helper killer, whatever they're called. I can't remember. But I wanted to read you so that we understand. Because, you know, you tell people that there is a quote-unquote conspiracy, and that just simply means a plan between two or more people to do something or to harm another. you know, we're talking about a plan to prevent people from expressing these types of things. And you got to understand why they're doing that. Now, when these scientists, they get in the lab and they're being paid to do something that otherwise would be against their very moral fabric, if they have any at all anymore, you're getting in there and you're doing things that by any rightful account you shouldn't do. And so I just want to go over just this one example of interferon and what happened in the scientific community that caused the interferon to start being affected and not being delivered as it should to call on the immune system. Over a half century ago, while researching the efficiency of the vaccine for smallpox, Japanese virologists working for the Institute for Infectious Diseases at the University of Tokyo published their findings in 1954 that some what they called a, quote, viral inhibitory factor, in other words, some factor that was unknown, something that was unknown happening in the body that actually prevented viral infection. So in other words, they were trying to infect rabbits and couldn't infect the rabbit with their disease through vaccine because of some viral inhibitory factor. Something was preventing them from actually causing disease in their vaccine. And they wanted to know what that is. So 1954, some viral inhibitory factor was inhibiting the growth of their purposefully induced viral infection of laboratory research rabbits. In other words, the tiny rabbit bodies were having the natural immune response they should, which interferes with the capability of a foreign zoological pathogen to propagate or grow and reproduce after an injection. They also discovered that through isolation of this unknown and naturally occurring preventative substance or viral inhibitory factor, that it was not originated from antibodies. The desired immunization process of antibody stimulation through vaccination was being profoundly prevented. In other words, something was preventing the vaccines from actually getting in there, infecting cells. There was something in the body happening. 3 years later, at the National Institute for Medical Research in London, virologists discovered similar causal effects on the growth of influenza virus in chicken eggs and the membranes. Something was again naturally interfering with the growth of the virus after a purposeful, unnatural injection to cause disease. In their research paper, they coined this viral inhibitory factor as interferon, or that which interferes with the disease process. After a while, I'll sum it up by saying that they agreed to call it this viral inhibitory factor, or VIF. They agreed to call it interferon, and basically they figured out that the interferon prions, or proteins, excuse me, reside in different human chromosomes, and the purification process of biologically active beta interferon. They finally isolated it in 1977, which coincidentally was when they, you know, when the AIDS epidemic started showing its face. By the early 1980s, interferon prion types were isolated and cloned to show conclusive proof that indeed interferons were responsible for interfering with viral reproduction. So what I'm trying to tell you is that when the scientists of the NIH and all these different government organizations, which all started out as weapons, you know, weapons labs, mm-hmm. You know, Merck was the main weapons company for IG Farben in Germany, right? So when they find something like interferon, which should be something cherished and something, you know, made to be protected, they're not looking to protect it. They're looking to destroy it so that their disease can actually take place without being interfered with or having, you know, the...
I agree 100%.
Yeah, Yeah, it's disturbing. And you take that across the spectrum of disease, and you find that almost every disease that we talk about is some interference on our part, and I won't say our, but on their part, to cause a disease and make it stick. And then, of course, what do? They clone the interferon, they make a product out of it, and they start injecting people with interferon because they've created some vaccine or something that actually causes the malproduction or misfunction of the cells that cause interferon. It's ridiculous. I mean, it really is ridiculous. And in this way, you're actually getting control of the entire body. And Shali, you'll understand this, man. When I was studying sound engineering and I was on those big soundboards, you know, we had to mic every instrument, right? Just to give you an analogy, every instrument has to have a mic. So every drum, the bass drum, the tom-toms, the various cymbals, plus the outside mics that gets the whole thing for ambiance in the room, you know, and then the bass is in a room, the piano's in a room, the singer's in a room, and they're all isolated so that we can record just the sound that we want. Well, that is why records sound so pure and so good. That is why sound in movies sounds so good, which is what I used to do, is put every single sound. When I get a film, all the sound is gone. I have to place every plate, every sound that you hear, including the voiceover, which they redo, into the film. And now I have control over every single sound in the movie soundtrack. I have 150 tracks, 250 tracks in Star Wars, and I'm controlling every sound because every sound is now isolated. Well, now transfer that model over to the human body. Now I've isolated interferon. Now I've made a substitute for it. Now I can destroy people's ability to produce it and offer it back to them as a patented product. I have destroyed this. I have destroyed. I've taken each part of the body, each thing, and I've recognized what causes it to be diseased. I've recognized which chemical or protein or functionality that I can turn on or switch off through the epigenome. And then, at the same time, I'm patenting that very substance as an artificial form, something novel, something unique that is not natural, because that's what it takes to be patented. And I go in, and now 40% of the human genes are patented. All right, so I can now go in and I can offer gene therapy. I can offer this, all these different things. I can offer certain cancer therapies because I own the disease.
Yeah,
I've isolated it. I've reconstructed it. I've put it through a machine to print out the genome. I understand how to switch on the switches of the epigenome on and off. And I now have basically, just like I have control over the entire soundtrack of a movie, I have the control over the entire health or disease state of the human body with my medicines. I inject you with something that causes havoc, then I come in and I say, well, I can reduce this symptom, but oh, unfortunately, it's going to cause three other symptoms. But I don't worry, I have medicines for those. Now you have nine more symptoms, but I have medicine for those.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the sickness. This is the sickness of the medical industry.
Yeah, I wrote an article called The Hypocrisy of Allopathy, or When the Healing Art Became the Business of Medicine. Yeah. And it talked about that change in philosophy. It couldn't exist. Medicine today couldn't exist were it not those changes made back then. And the artificial as opposed to the natural is an enormous difference. But like you said, it's not as controllable. But the substance that I was talking about earlier, I did an article called Molecular Signatures, Recording and Storage. And the majority of the article was about about a particular substance that I had been working with, that is the one that actually caused those what we were talking about previously, that initiated those responses.
Mm-hmm.
It was not used up anyway. It was only a signaling molecule. We've actually we believe we've captured that signal and can duplicate that signal so that the substance need not be present. Now, when you stop to think about it, that's kind of scary, especially if you could do the same thing with a pharmaceutical, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of dangerous, but the fact of the matter is it means the poisonous part of the pharmaceutical need not be present. But in many cases, you're just trying to initiate a set of commands that the body knows how to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But the politics of what went on around that substance, it's not even available anymore because of the they were doing clinical trials in Florida legitimately. It was not a drug because it was a natural substance. The method by which it was extracted was probably going to be patented, but the substance itself was a natural substance. And but the 100% of the people they were using for the clinical trials were people that had been given up on and sent home to die by a major cancer clinic.
Right.
And when 80 some odd percent of these people started turning up cancer free after they had already gone through all of the cancer treatment their bank accounts allowed, their bank accounts and insurance would allow, and they were being cured for, I think it was $1,100. And $1,100 is a set price. The I can't use the word drug because it was not a drug. The substance was $125 for 10 doses. There's $12.50 a dose.
Right.
And you needed 2 to 3 doses a week. No more than that, because the white blood cells left the body in 3 to 5 days. But the FDA came in at the pressure of that, and they ceased the clinical trials. And the substance got pulled, and it ended up getting labeled as a controlled substance so that it could be controlled by FDA. The manufacturer of the substance, it had been used quite a bit by foreign doctors, but the FDA has now controlled it, so even the manufacturer can no longer manufacture it in his lab because they've changed the requirements for the lab. In other words, they did everything they could to see that it would never see the light of day.
Did you say the name of this?
It's actually a polymenin extract. It has gone by another name, but I actually put a lot of the articles that had been done on the raid and all of that attached to that that article. And I did that article. It's freely downloadable on the Pulse Tech Research website, and it's called Molecular Signatures, Recording and Storage.
One of you guys on Skype, connect, or Jimmy, send an invite to Clint. That way you guys can, send information back and forth. And Jimmy, one of the things that I found most fascinating in our conversations, when the three of us, when Jordy, you and I were on Oracle and then on UCY as well, is that when you had these their devices, the plasmas, and they were creating these frequencies, and the frequency was tuned to destroy a particular pathogen, that it would, and to this day, I still remember this, and it still fascinates me, that you said that once it kills the pathogen or a pathogen, virus or bacteria, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I remember, is that it sends out an executing of a kill code.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
So it sends out within a range of distance a kill code for the same pathogens or something like that. And I was just sitting there like blown away by that. And
that
I still haven't forgotten.
The Russian work of even as far back as the 1920s of Alexander Gervich and also more recently Koznishnev. He was the one that was working in the bioweapons. But they were doing exactly what you just said. They would isolate as long as they were related. And we've actually done some of the same thing in our work. We were working with nurses. And the cultures were separated. A single culture was separated into separate groups and put at different locations. And you could kill stuff at one location, and it would also die at the other locations.
Right.
And we've actually done stuff at 42 miles distance and 650 miles distance.
So
but the thing is according to them, they've got it's called a quantum entanglement of photon pairs. They are communicating in the ultraviolet range, but it's a quantum entanglement, and the communication is going on in the photonic range.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first rude awakening I had when this was going on. We found out we were able to shield it with lead and bismuth. Now, when Gervich and Koznishnev were doing their work, they found out that, you know, the quartz, they were using Windus to separate initially, but they also were using leaded glass. The signal couldn't pass through leaded glass. Now, whatever we were doing, the things are evidently quite different, and the distance doesn't seem to mean a lot, as long as they were related and from the same cultures. Now, we were working with multiple cultures at a time, and each site had the same collection of cultures. I had no idea. I never touched anything at the other sites.
Mm-hmm.
So I never had any control. I was only sent once. Actually, I was sent two sets, and the other sets were never in my possession. And they were all numbered. So, an outside lab did two outside labs did the analysis. And when they really found out what was going on, it kind of raised their eyebrows too, because they didn't have an explanation for it. I suspected it, but I had put stuff in a steel safe, and then I have another that is steel and bismuth, steel and lead and bismuth lined. And that one, it shielded it. The steel itself didn't seem to shield.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some strangeness going on with all of this, but it's all pretty much known in quantum mechanics,
mm-hmm.
which is not my specialty, but it is the specialty of many of the people that I'm working with,
right.
Especially the people in Russia.
Hmm. Fascinating. I often think about, the sun. I think about, you know, how they demonized it and they say that, you know, it's just so bad for you. And then I think about what they're doing as far as the geoengineering. They're blocking frequencies that has an effect on the body. And then maybe the frequencies from all of these UVA, UVB, and some obviously other frequencies, and that we're not getting now. I think that radiation or whatever, you know, penetrates the body and does something miraculous. And I think obviously they're trying to block that and do many, many other things.
I oftentimes think of all of our specialists as the same thing as the bloodletters. of ancient times,
mm-hmm.
not that long ago when you stop to think about it.
Right. That reminds me of it was an SNL thing that I saw even as a young kid when my dad.
I remember Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, Theodoric of York, primeval barber.
Yeah,
might even be able to see that on YouTube. But he was just so ridiculous. People would come in sick, and then he would tell them to do these ridiculous things. And then like if a chicken, you know, turned away from you, it meant one thing. And if it looked at you, then you were going to die or something. It was just ridiculous. But that's not that far away from what we're seeing today.
And one of these things we're going to find one of these days, we will realize that all these injections and things that we're getting are not much more advanced than what those skits were all about.
Yeah. I mean, I work with a number of people that just have said things like, I can't believe you're an anti-vaxxer, you know, and then they go back to the polio lie that our this educational system makes sure that they push the polio thing. And they above all else, when it comes to disease, push the polio lie, push that, you know, just incredible deception. And as a matter of fact, this is very interesting that probably about 2 weeks ago, a coworker cut himself. They were making, you know, they had the cooker outside, and then we decided, all right, we're going to cook up some of this food. And the coworker friend cut his finger, went down to the bone, like on the in the middle of his thumb, went to one of these urgent care places, got 4 stitches, got it wrapped up. And then I'm thinking, and for some reason I said to myself, that thing's going to get infected. I don't know why. Maybe I was just, you know, thinking, you know, thinking negatively or whatever, but I don't know. And I said, that thing's probably going to get infected. Sure enough, he comes back in and says, my finger's infected. It hurts really bad. He had to go through a minor surgery for them to scrape all of the infected tissue out of there. And I said that day when we found out about it, I said, he's probably got MRSA. But they didn't say. And I think what's happening now is, because I had a neighbor of mine who, when I was living across the river, he said that he had this like pimple or something. And then that when he went to get it lanced, they said, oh, it's MRSA. But I think they have to get to a point now where they say that, you know, they'll tell you that it's MRSA. And then now they'll just get to a point where they won't even say what it is, because that has a certain control over it. So he was out the other night, and he had his. They actually took the stitches out, and they said you got to let it, you know, you got to let it seep or something like that. So just a, you know, a cut, and sure enough, it went down to the bone. But I mean, how far is the bone on your thumb? I mean, it's like it's the bone's right there, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So,
whereas if you had a different strategy, you wouldn't have to deal with that.
Right.
And
I'm thinking,
dealing with, in fact, those experiments that I was talking about earlier, MRSA, worst case scenario, MRSAs from multiple labs were the stocks that we were working with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I said, we knew,
right.
We knew which ones were which, and we were doing like 4 different types at a time,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't react all the same.
Right.
We did come up with a good, solid protocol for those. That we still have that reserved right now. It's not public.
So as far as this, you know, of course, what we're told on the Tell Live Vision, we should really kind of think, you know, think twice. And obviously I do that now.
You still have one of those?
Well, you know, you got to be able to pick out the propaganda. But are these superbugs, this bacteria, the MRSA, is that coming from the overuse of the antibiotics? And
absolutely.
Okay.
Dr. Margaret Chan of the World Health Organization just did a report. Actually, I did an article on that as well. Let me pull up the name of it real quick, or try to.
Right. And I remember, talking with Jimmy and asking specific questions. I said, how does this MRSA get into the hospitals? Where, I mean, all these co-infections, and we spoke about co-infections that day. I said, is it possible that the MRSA and this and these infections are already on this, the equipment that comes in, the medical equipment? And I believe you said to me, I totally agree. I think that's it's coming in on that.
It's coming in on a lot of things, but the this article I was talking about is the superbugs are here, new solutions and new strategies to address antibiotic resistance. But the pharmaceutical companies aren't making new antibiotics because by the time they get to production, after they get through all their trials and everything, they are no longer effective. Mm-hmm. So the cupboard is fixing to be bare in her announcement to the World Health Organization. I'm going to quote her. She said, some experts say we're moving back to the pre-antibiotic era. No, this will be a post-antibiotic era. In terms of new replacement antibiotics, the pipeline is virtually dry, especially for gram-negative bacteria. The cupboard is nearly bare. A post-antibiotic era means, in effect, an end to modern medicine as we know it. Things as common as a strep throat or a child's scratched knee could once again kill. Now, when you look at it that way, they're not looking at other solutions. The antibiotic strategy no longer works.
Right.
But the thing is there is some promise in that Denmark is one of the first companies or countries that has really started looking at the problem. In fact, that's where this was, this address was done, was in Denmark. And all our foods, all the injected antibiotics into all the foods that we eat, mm-hmm. especially the meats,
right.
those have helped drive this antibiotic resistance. The constant exposure to it has caused the bacteria to evolve in a manner that they've already been exposed to everything. They've already evolved.
Let me ask you a question, because, when I look at these things, I tend to think reasonably, and I go to the origins. Why do we call them antibiotics? It comes from Greek biotikos, or from bios, from life. So when we're talking about a biotic, we're talking about life itself, of or relating to living organisms, etc. What is life? So what then is antibiotic? Or wait a minute, that's anti-life. So my theory on this, and you'll either concur or not, is that I think the reason that we are in such a diseased state, the reason that these powerful bacteria and things are having such a feast on our bodies is because we're being turned into literally walking dead. We are killing all of the good functionality of our life blood and our light ourselves in order to fight the disease. But the disease oftentimes thrives on death. I mean, there's examples of that all through nature. You have the bark beetle that loves to devour these trees, and people think, oh, it's a bark beetle problem. No, the problem is the trees are dying from what we're doing, and the bark beetles come in and eat the death. They don't eat the life. They eat the death. So it seems to me like we're being attacked by things that have never been problems or haven't been a problem in a while because we're literally putting something that is anti-life into our body.
Well, that analogy of the zombie apocalypse is really not that far away. It's just that most people don't realize that it may be getting to be a real thing. And all these things that we've been discussing that's the way we're heading, mm-hmm. where we will be no better than that. We will be that sick or can be that sick. And there's not going to be really a recovery for it. And it's being induced.
Mm-hmm. It's like leprosy.
Right.
Except leprosy they had solutions for that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, when we, as we get older, as we become more acidic, and I like to think that comes into play as well, obviously with a strong attention to the research that Clint and Patrick have done, that when we become more and more acidic, we absorb less oxygen. And of course, there's the oxygen levels are dwindling at massively. That in environments that are low in oxygen, these microorganisms that are kept at bay, that we have good, we have bad bacteria. As we become more and more acidic, we lose the ability to absorb oxygen. The depletion.
Utilizing it.
And then these things, these microorganisms take over. Now I've heard this before, and I thought about it in great detail, where I've been around people that have been, in their 70s, 80s, and they have a particular smell, and I think to myself, is it possible that as we get older, these, and of course, as our immune system starts to decline, the acidity of the body, the lack of oxygen being utilized in the body, that these microorganisms grow and get in more and more of a in a larger amount, and we're actually being consumed by them prior to actually dying.
Well, most people don't realize that alkaline acidity issue is an available electron or a power issue.
Exactly. Yeah. I've heard before that being alkaline means that
you are bathed
in electrons. So if you have free radicals coming into the body and it's scavenging for electrons, if you've got an abundance of those electrons, boom, it grabs it. There's no problem. But if you're acidic and don't have all these, extra electrons.
It starts stealing from places that you don't want it to steal from, and then it starts a cascading effect on all these other processes and chemical functions that should be going on, but they don't have enough power to do so.
Right. And I believe that maybe staying or trying to stay alkaline can fend off some of these fend off some of the prion.
You have to be careful with that, though, because there's a lot of charlatans out there, a lot of people who want to sell you things. For instance, do not drink water that is labeled as alkaline water. You want your acid in your stomach to be acidic. You don't want alkaline water floating around and diluting the acid in your stomach, because then you can't digest anything. So there's certain aspects of this whole movement, if you will, health movement. I mean, you walk down any health food aisle at any store, and there is nothing of nature in the aisle. It's all bars and protein powders and all this crap. And I'm like, what? How is this natural food section? What?
Right.
How do you get away with saying that this? It's like people must look at it and walk immediately to the junk food section because the natural food looks so foreign to nature,
mm-hmm.
right? So you got to be careful with these salespeople who get it in their heads that, well, hey, I can just turn water into an alkaline base and sell it as a treatment for acidic. No, that's not how it works. That is not what makes you acidic or what makes you alkaline. It's the foods that you digest that do that. It's not something that you can just take a magic potion. And I apologize, but I have to duck out early, but I wanted to leave you with this, if you don't mind, because, I go back and I'm looking at my Bible, right? And the Bible's very clear that we should not be mixing species. We should not be, interracial. There's so many things about the Bible that we don't pay attention to. When it comes to this particular subject, perhaps the most profound part of that is, of course, the mixing of plant species and stuff like that, which is strictly forbidden, which we do all the time, grafting, ingrafting, that sort of thing. But in Revelation 18, it tells you, it's telling you, it's giving you the very the very plan, the very design of what is going to happen. It says, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all the nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. So now most people will bypass that and say, oh, they're sorceries. Oh, that's just biblical nonsense. Actually, for there's the nations were all deceived from the sorceries of the great merchants on earth. Okay, what are the great merchants? They're actually pharmaceutical corporations. What does the word sorcery actually mean in the Bible from Strong's G5331? Pharmakia. Who were the sorcerers? Who's the sorceries? By their source, by the merchant sorceries, all the nations were going to be deceived. Well, those merchants are our pharmaceutical and medical corporations.
In those days, they were referred to alchemists.
Well, yeah, and then you go and you say, well, what does this mean? What is this word pharmakia in the Bible? A drug, a spell-giving potion. A druggist, a pharmacist, a poisoner, a magician, a sorcerer, one who prepares or uses magical remedies, a sorcerer, good for poisoning or the administering of drugs, magical arts, often found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it, metaphor for the deceptions and seductions of idolatry. So, I mean, it's very fascinating that we actually have this, basically this warning. When you look in, even go to the older dictionaries, Webster's 1828, for instance, my favorite dictionary, it's online as well, pharmaceutic or pharmaceutical, first definition from the Greek to practice witchcraft or use medicine, poison or medicine, pertaining to the knowledge or art of pharmacy or to the art of preparing medicines. What is a drug? It's a commodity. It's something that is not saleable. Right. In other words, it's not something that would just be transferred on the market. It's something that it takes a sorcerer, a magician with the right potion casting qualities to actually use and prescribe these drugs. To drug something is to tincture it with something offensive or to poison, to drudge. And so we look and we can go back. We can look at the word physician comes from the old Proto-Germanic, meaning enchanter, or one who speaks magic words, a healer or a physician, right? A conjurer, a doctor, sorcerer, a fortune teller, enchanter, a conjurer, a charmer, an exorcist, a physician. This is the origin of this thing that we now worship in a white coat. And the reason, you know, I don't have a problem with doctors. What I have a problem with is doctors that are conjurers, doctors that are magicians, doctors that use words and prescribe words that have to do with pharmacopoeia. That is not their place. They don't do it because they know what they're doing. They do it because they're computers that are funded and the programs written by pharmaceutical companies.
That's right.
By the merchants that are deceiving the nations. You see, we have a problem with witchcraft and we don't even know it. Salem was just the beginning, apparently. And a pharmacy, again.
I've never really looked at it from that perspective, but you're so right.
Well, if you listen to Clint and read his writings, you will look at things with more clarity for sure.
Can you give us that website?
I was actually just reading from my book, page 578. But you can go to Webster's 1828 online, just Webster's 1828. Type in pharmaceutical. It's crazy.
No, I wanted your website.
Oh, my book can be downloaded at strawmanstory.info. And then my other websites are actually at the end of that book. Okay. The very end has all my websites there.
I'll send you Clint's information, and at some point, I know you have to roll, Clint. Jimmy will send you a Skype invite, so that way you guys can communicate and send information back and forth.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, we ought to try to get Jimmy and
Patrick.
Jimmy, are you familiar with? Dr. Oxygen, Mr. Oxygen, Ed McCabe.
I know the name. I don't know him personally.
I think you two together would be a fantastic combination because, of course, his whole thing is you know, oxygenate the body as much as you can.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even to the point where he recommends oxygen therapy, which is actually the withdrawing of your blood, sort of like dialysis, oxygenating it and putting it back in. It's like this amazing process, I guess, that just treats all kinds of disease, because most disease is of course, anaerobic or allergic to oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
nice.
But yeah. Anyway, pleasure to be here with you guys. Pleasure to meet you, sir.
Same here.
And Jimmy and I will finish out the program. Clint, I'll be in touch. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Okay. Good night.
Later.
Okay. That was Clint Richardson from the Corporation Nation radio show. He doesn't do that anymore. He comes on to my show. He does, shows on RBN every now and then. He fills in for people. And Clint's just a dynamic researcher. And, I mean, he's just, like, spent hours and hours and hours and days and weeks and months and years learning what words mean. Because it turns out that we are speaking a completely different language than what our masters, you know, are speaking. So, again, Clint, researcher, ex-radio show host, but he still does radio shows, documentary filmmaker. Jimmy, I'll share you some of these links and stuff. And also from the window here, the Skype window, you can actually, you can add or invite Clint to link up with you on here. And
I'll get it done.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So I think definitely the beginnings of a, I'm going to try to do this at least once a week on this platform. And, you're welcome. I would really, Patrick was supposed to be on, but he's kind of like a farmer and he does a lot of stuff. So he had to,
He had to work
and do some things. Of course, I'll send some information on him. He's Patrick is at vaccinefraud.com.
Now, I'm familiar with that. I don't know him, but I'm familiar with him.
Okay. Patrick is eccentric. He's just very I've actually had him on just he and I twice over the last couple months. And then I think it was one time it was me, Clint, and Patrick. So, I heard Patrick and Clint on his last 6 months of last year. Clint's show ended pretty much at the end of the year, maybe the beginning of this year. So he had to finish the book, finish his life's work. So he kind of figured, okay, I've done what I can. Probably like 500 podcasts where he had Patrick on once a week. He had a guy by the name of Daniel, who Canadian Canadian gentleman who he spoke about the Bible with exclusively and found out like what it really means. And very hard to interpret, but it's just. I'm Christ, maybe a quarter of the researcher that Clint is. So I'm really truly blessed to be able to and have connected with Clint and Patrick, Jimmy, you and Jordy, and it's just. I'm hoping from this point forward that. I don't believe there's any coincidences. I think that we are tonight, this conversation was meant to be, it was going to happen. And so there's definitely going to be more of these conversations about prion disease and how that connects with the work that you're doing at Pulse Technologies. So what else have you been, any like like real breakthroughs and things? Like what, like recently has been?
Our most, before I get to that,
okay.
I wanted to comment on something you just said.
Oh, sure.
I just got through reading the book, The Harbinger by Jonathan Cahn.
Okay.
And there was a comment towards the end of it. And all of us, I think, it's something that we're thinking about, but it's what many of us are doing actively, including yourself. And it has to go along the lines of the message that you're trying to get across.
Mm-hmm.
But he brought up the fact that we all see good and we all see evil, but the reason so much of the evil is coming to the forefront right now is because too many people have compromised with the evil. They're not evil themselves, but they haven't come to the forefront. They're not doing the radio programs. The media is not taking up the good aspects. Therefore, it allows the evil to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes us not only doing good work, but sharing that good work so that others can see that there is still good out there.
That's true.
If we don't, the pharmaceutical companies that really don't care that much about us, they care about the money.
Mm-hmm.
They're going, we are the ones that have allowed them to do what they're doing. And we've gone along with it. That just has to, we have to educate ourselves enough to see that this doesn't occur any longer.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in Clint's book, he talks about sin. Sin is, I mean, we've been deceived across the board in many different ways, mm-hmm. but sin is participating in the fiction, like you said, with the
correct, yes.
participating in the fiction.
Compromising with evil.
Compromising with evil. I think that...
it's not that we haven't even gone along with it. It's we haven't done anything to prevent it.
Exactly. And
actively.
Right. And I mean, when you think about it, if you don't, if you just say, I no longer want to be a United States citizen, there are legal processes that you can go through, but then you have to give up your Social Security number. And that right there is death in this system. Other people call it a rebirth. And Clint says, when being reborn is to understand that this system is a satanic system. It is a system where everything has a price. Everything has a monetary value. And so, but a lot of people, churches, these corporations, they focus on death. They focus on all this death. Like in the Catholic Church, I mean, we see Jesus on the crucifix. It's more or less a death cult from what we see. In Clint's research, and again, the book is over there at strawmanstory.info. You can download it, and if you have an ebook, you can put it on there. That when we're in this system, we basically get induced into the system without even knowing it. Delivery, when you're dealing with what Clint was talking about with Webster's 1828, delivery defined in that dictionary is abandonment. So when your mother delivered you, my mother delivered me, she was abandoning us to the state. Our birth certificate is on a banknote. We are collateral for the corporation or the Crown Corporation's debt. So these are things that that Clint has, he started off just like many of us. I mean, I started listening to Alex Jones. He was listening to Alex Jones. He would implement InfoWars into his repertoire. He worked with the We Are Change Utah. He didn't go into too much detail, but he He worked in Hollywood, and he was making doing soundtracks for Resident Evil, like video games, and the sounds were just obviously like satanic and beast and all this other stuff. And then somewhere along the line there, he broke out of it and started on his journey to where he is today. And so his book, I've read probably, I don't know, I want to say about 20, 25 pages in, and it makes more sense to me because of all the conversations that I've had with him. But, you know, he really is a caring, dynamic, you know, as far as, you know, as a creator, and I tell him this all the time, I say this to him, I say it to Patrick, I said, you guys are one of God's greatest creations, because you have broken out of the collective and you're doing something that is so needed, so important that, and of course, when we do these things and we talk about reality, people are not going to take too well to it, because it destroys the fiction. It destroys their connection to this fiction, to this this legal fiction that
control
the yeah. control. Right? Yeah. Government in Latin is govern, control, mente, mind, control of the mind. I said that to a coworker. I said government means control of the mind. And then, of course, you know, with Clint reading physician and pharmacia or pharmacopoeia meaning like sorcery. I mean, it's fascinating. Again, I'm just blessed to have these connections to people.
Well, I don't think these connections are any accident.
No, right.
I gave up on the accident philosophy a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there's something incredible going on here, and it's more than just who we are. You know, it's more than just who we are, Jimmy. It's who we are not or aren't, if you will.
Yeah, when you ask about what's new a few minutes ago,
sure.
Really, I'm actually leaving town in the morning.
Okay.
Go finish up an article.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like you say, one of the most important articles that I've done, because it shows how all of the frequency and the signature work, how all of this stuff ties together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a big complex picture that we're having to describe in little segments before one can understand how the pieces fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't think that the Schumann resonance and cancer or Schumann resonance and
mm-hmm.
well, any other disease, you might understand how it fits with sleep, but you don't understand how sleep fits with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these things are very closely related, let alone figure out how an astronaut fits into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But by putting this thing together and doing it the way that we're doing it, I think most people are going to be able to grasp the image, and they will understand that these assaults that we are having upon us, whether it be electromagnetic, chemical,
mm-hmm.
foods, all these different angles that are coming, most of which are invisible to us,
mm-hmm.
are what is absolutely tearing us apart.
Yeah.
But those who do recognize can easily get out of the traps.
Right.
They can become the non-conformists. Well, when we were growing up, the non-conformists had long hair, beards, mustaches, and were halfway there most of the time.
Right.
I know that's when I grew up in the 60s, so I can remember that. But
right.
Now they do radio talk programs.
Right. And unfortunately, I think they support Obama there's a good portion of them that do.
Well, that's because those lost their mind.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, and Clint has also done a lot of genealogical studies, you know, and it turns out that a lot of these presidents are related, if not all of them are related. And then Obama is actually related to Jacob Dunham. His real name is Barry Dunham. His mother's name was Ann Dunham. And he is related to landowners, I mean, pure title landowners from the state of Indiana. If you go to thedunhamhouse.com, and you'll see that there. Barack Obama is of the bloodline lineage of the actual founding fathers. That's why he is. And you know, I fail to get through a lot of conversations without you know, saying that and saying that to people, and it really gets me into a lot of trouble. But you know, Clint has done, and that's the thing about him. He's done so much on the medical side, so much on the vaccines, so much on the natural law and the Bible, the straw man. He also found you know, time to deal with the whole the whole genealogy thing, where a lot of these people are related. A lot of people in Hollywood are related to, like, and this was on CBS News, Obama being related to Brad Pitt, Hillary Clinton being related to Angelina Jolie. So Clint, so Pitt and Jolie, you know, finding each other is more of a kind of a setup than, hey, you're interesting, let's get married. So and then we find out that that Trump is also related to Hillary Clinton. But see, people can't get that stuff, that they can't get that through their head, that this world is run and controlled by bloodlines. You know, we've heard books like Bloodlines of the Illuminati, right? I truly figured out who Alex Jones is. Jones is part of the bloodline. He's part of the bloodline. So, and then his name might not even be Alex Jones, because we know that Barack Obama's real name is not Barack Obama. When he was born, his name was Barry Dunham, but he didn't want people to know that he was related to Jacob Dunham, you know, one of the original landowners, private, basically, you know, what you would call a private citizen today, where the laws don't apply to these private citizens. The laws of the United States citizenship do not apply to these people. Clint had a gentleman by the name of KW on his program, who went through the legal process, because he found that he was related through genealogical studies, that he was related to the people, meaning Washington, Jefferson, and the founding fathers by blood, related to them. So he proved that. And nobody in the Bar Association can actually represent you, because the Bar Association is another one of these fictional constructions inside, you know, the Matrix, if you will, just like the United States government. A lot of people think that these Masons got together and signed all these documents and said, we the people, da-da-da-da-da. Well, it turns out that they are the people, because Washington was actually related to the bloodlines, the monarchy across the pond. So when he came over here and you know, or wherever he came from, I don't know too much of what goes on with George Washington. I know that, you know, he was the first president of the United States, but he was also related to the guy that he was fighting against for the freedom of the United States, which for all intents and purposes has been a pirate cove for this. There was a guy who did some audiobooks called Gustavus Myers that Greg from New Jersey, he was the one that said, hey, you should listen to this Clint Richardson guy. He's really making a lot of sense. And then he said, I've been trying to figure out things for a number of years. And he said, I think Clint's got it. I think Clint nailed it down. And I'm like, all right, well, let me listen to this guy. And so, you know, again, there's no coincidences, and, just, you know, I think we're I think we're on the right path. I think we're moving in the right direction. You obviously are doing some incredible work.
And I've been taking notes tonight too.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Because when Clint starts his, I mean, he is, you know, you could tell just by listening to, you know, to the way that he, you know, kind of just kind of presents the information, that he's just got this incredible lock on it. And his documentary is called Lethal Injection. All right. So, yeah, and just look for, you can type in YouTube, type in Corporation Nation. You'll see Clint. You'll see him talking, you know, at a number of different locations with, obviously, with you know, We Are Change Utah. But at the same time, he's done the Corporation Nation documentary, done the Lethal Injection. I mean, just so dedicated. You know, again, you know, the creator, whatever created all this. You know, obviously, some of his best work, you know, he's done.
Well, I think many of us are here to just go ahead and share what we have.
Yeah, we all have a mission.
Those that are ready to understand it will get it. Those that don't necessarily understand it will later recognize that the information is there.
Yeah.
All of us in our own time.
Yep. Yeah. And like I said, and I try to use a lot of these movie, the popular culture when I'm talking to these 20 something and 30 something people. And I said it's obvious. They said, you're not ready to be unplugged yet. And so they know that is with regards to the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
When they said, you're not ready to be unplugged. You're not ready to know what the Matrix is, you know, and Clint has broken that down as well. And he's got major issues with it, but at the same time, you know, he understands why it, you know, how it fits into the whole structure. Has made a lot of other really, really, keen, extracted a lot of information, like when Neo opens up the door in the beginning of the Matrix, and you know they're looking, the group outside is looking for something. You know, he's the hacker, and he's giving them something. The book that he picks up is this book called Simulacra and Simulation. And so we did a podcast about that Simulacra and Simulation, and that was just, I'm still trying to get that into my head, but. Keanu Reeves had to read Simulacra and Simulation and like two other books before he could even you know get the script to read the script and become Neo. And of course it turns out that Mr. Reeves is also part of the Hollywood, you know, bloodline folks, but you know, it's such a tangled web, man. You can, you know, I've always kind of approached it. I'm like, you know, like carpet bombing, like every subject. So I'm like jumping from one, you know, I'm like jumping from one area to the next. And then even though when people said to me, hey, well, you really, you know, like what I would speak to somebody and they'd be like, well, this is the topic that I deal with. This is what I talk about. And when I bring up other topics, hey, do you know anything about this? And then they say, well, you know what? It's just so tough just doing the research and finding out so many incredible things about this particular one area. I found myself that if I do that, my mind just goes like, my brain just explodes. So people just kind of like stay on one particular topic. And I try to just do too much. And so my research on, I don't do good research. I realized that over time, as I've done this, my intentions were good, but of course I fell for a lot of the deceptions inside the you know, the so-called truth movement, and Clint, you know, he destroys the whole truth movement because it's just another layer of the deceptive rotting onion that that pushes us away from the fact that the world is controlled by bloodlines, and we are not independent from the British Empire. We are not, we're not free. We're not really free. It's just it's some form of freedom, and freedom doesn't even mean what freedom means. And Clint breaks that down as well, that the words that we think that we know what they mean, we find out that they're not exactly. And words have two meanings. So
it's a tangled web.
It is a tangled web. So I here I am. We're talking about so much, and I've already gotten to genealogy. I've got into bloodlines. I'm tripping all over myself here, but happy to have had you two together on the same in the same discussion here, and hoping that we can combine our the passion for what we do individually, and put it together and make it something that can move mountains.
Well, I think one of this other article comes out that I'm doing. I think you're going to see where it fits in on many of the things, because I think it's one of the things it's going to expose. One of the ways our brain has been mentally suppressed.
Right.
And it's going to, I think it's going to show up, but it's also going to show by revealing it, people are going to see the partial solutions if they want to take that path to get away from it.
Right.
So most people won't be ready for that. Others will.
Yeah.
And it's the others, that's who you're really preaching to.
Yeah.
You're actually preaching to all of them, but people come along in their own way and time.
Right. Yeah. There's a time and a place and a date where that's going to happen for them, and nothing that I say or you say or Clint, what Clint says is going to make. All you can do is plant the seed. So when that time comes, what we've said will be part of their realization.
Yeah, there's nothing to argue about. Just information that is laid out that the people assemble on their good, sweet time.
Mm-hmm.
And
this system
make
is,
what they do out of it.
This system, these people, they are going to go way beyond what people think that they're doing. They say, "Oh, I'm paying taxes because I'm doing my share. I need a license to drive. I need a license to fish. I need a license to hunt. I need a license to get married. I need a license to do this." And it's just like, are we really free? And the funny thing, Jimmy, is that I work with a group of people, computer tech people, but really an impressive a group of younger people. Really, real good. I think they just got out of, they're in the generation where they're okay that they might get it someday, that they might understand. I think the people that are in their teens now, I think they are so screwed because they're getting hit with so much bullshit. They're getting taught so much lies that they're, and that's what they're hoping. They're hoping that they can get and really manipulate and just mangle the thought process of these young people. And every now and then, I'll meet a young person that is just dynamic, and then they'll say something like they'll know or say something like, "Oh my God, you must be immune or something because you understand and you're not talking like the others. You're actually making sense, and it sounds like you kind of get it." Mm-hmm. So, and that's exciting. That can be an exciting.
They got to unplug some time back.
Exactly, and then I think to myself, there's times throughout this whole process where I'll get down and I'll think, man, what am I doing this for? Why do I, You know, why am I, you know, like, why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this? Why do I, every week I do the podcast and, you know, and then something happens. Something happens that makes me, that gives me a, you know, something that makes me want to do it again. Something that makes me want to, and I just get, and over the years, I've just kind of gotten better at delivering the message. Whereas before it was like more of a kind of like a frantic type of, you got to, you know, you got to see what's going on out there. But now you have to understand the programming and you have to do things as subtly. You have to say and do things as subtly as what's been done to all of us. Because, you know, that it's, you know, you can't, or we can't change something that has been subtly done to us for such a long time. So you have to do, or I feel like I have to do things in a subtle way to make people think just periodically, that like little micro moment that makes them think like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, there's some truth to that. And even if they say, hey, after that, they're like, hey, what movie am I going to see this weekend? Or, what inane, you know, sporting event am I going to, you know, get enthralled in? At least just for that 1 second, you stop the ride and they listened for a second, but then they got right back on the ride.
Yeah.
And then, so it's like, I don't know if you've heard that thing that Bill Hicks, the comedian Bill Hicks, that he did this stand-up routine where he said, is this real or is this just a ride? And he said, many people have been on the ride and then they've gotten off and they tell the other people that, hey, this is just a ride. You can get off anytime you want. This isn't real. It's just a ride. And then he said, and we kill those people. I don't know if you ever heard that, but I'll send that to you because it's really...
I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah, he was a pretty dynamic... comedian in the late 90s. And the
I've heard of Bill Hicks.
Bill Hicks, yeah. I'll send you a couple things because it's just really good. He was like a Carlin where he could open your mind to the possibilities that, hey, we're really not free, but yet make you laugh, and he would make you laugh and get you into a state of mind where, like, hey, this guy's funny, I like you. And then he could drop like little things in there like, hey, like, ask yourself if you're free. Just ask the Japanese Americans when they were all put in camps in America during the war. Ask them if they're free. And that, so there was a number of just the different things that they could do as comedians where they could make you laugh, they could win your confidence, and then just kind of give you like little seeds of reality, and then, you know, and then end it, and then you don't realize that you picked something up, that it's in there. Whatever it is in there, and you're not going to get it out of your head. You can't not know that. If that makes sense.
I've got that thing pulled up here. It's just a ride.
Yeah, he does the stand up and you'll hear it. And then they did this thing. It's like it's called the Big Electron. If you write that down, just be like, just type the Big Electron. And what they do is they take Carlin and Hicks and they put them together, and it starts off, and you hear Hicks. It's like, is this real? And then you can hear his voice echoing, or is this just a ride? And then they make music out of his stand up, and it's just really, man, it really moves you. First time I heard it, I was like, wow, man, this is very, I think it was called something, I forget who the artist is, but they do a lot of stuff. They do a lot of like Morgan Freeman, different things like that. I forget exactly who the artist is.
I see it here. Bill Hicks, George Carlin, The Big Electron.
The Big Electron, yeah. It's very, very powerful. Once you start listening to it, you listen to it once and then you'll be like, wow, that was really catchy. Like there's something about it that just resonates.
Yeah.
with you. So take a listen to that.
I'll check that out shortly.
I'm going to end the podcast now. And what I can do is when I get the link to the show, I'll send it over to you.
All right.
And it's going to get, I'm sure, Clint's archiver, Drew, he'll put it up on Reality Blogger. And I'll send you Clint's links to his other websites. But everything on strawmanstory.info in there has his
I've already gotten all that stuff already.
So again, I think that Clint's research and Patrick's research, your research, I think we can.
It all comes together.
It's going to fit.
I think a lot of the things Clint was talking about tonight, I agree with. I didn't find anything we disagree with. There was a couple of things that I might have. I think we said the same thing. We were expressing it in a slightly different way, or from a slightly different perspective.
Right.
But the information's good no matter which side it comes from.
Right. And I mean, in his blog post at the end of the xenotransplantation, the making of the
yes.
zombie apocalypse, he said frequency rife. This could be the answer to this modern day plague, which nobody really knows is happening. But every time I'll listen to the radio, I'm driving, and it's always about somebody with Alzheimer's. It's always about some kind of a commercial on TV where there's a woman in her 60s or 70s. She's walking around the house. She's like, "Where are my keys?" And her son in the refrigerator. And it's just like, and, you know, like Clint says, this is one disease manifesting as, and they have to give them Parkinson's, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, and all this stuff. They have to break it down, because if people caught on that it's all one disease, then they'd be like, well, it's got to be one thing that's really causing this. And they don't want people to know that. And then, of course, that's why a number of reasons why they killed that panel on transmissible spongiform encephalopathy is because pretty soon it's going to become abundantly clear, and at least they can maybe have the plausible deniability to say, well, we ended that panel. Like there's something very, very messy about it, and they know exactly what they're doing by putting the whole panel on this particular topic. There's just so many. I listen to the news and I hear so many things. The Supreme Court today were four to four on Obama's immigration thing, and then in the city of Philadelphia, prior to this Democratic National Convention, they are actually going to be decriminalizing things that they would have actually. And what it meant to me was they're going to let people do, like, they know that violence is going to happen. They know it. So what they're going to do is they're going to allow that violence to happen. That's the way I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to allow that violence to happen. And what did the new mayor say? Oh, we don't want people to think that we're a lock you up city. So everything's happening in this corporation. I was going to say country, but now I just say corporation all the time. So many things are happening, and they're going to let the violence happen, because the only way that they can get change the way that they need to transform, you know, their, let's face it, mm-hmm. their creation into something, the old world order into the new world order. They're going to need extreme violence. They're going to need extreme polarization. They're going to need extreme divide and amongst all.
Just like the nonsense that was going on last night in the Congress.
Exactly.
the house.
It's a mess.
It's just nonsense. People are fed up.
Well, people,
I don't know a single person that isn't fed up on either side of the equation. Any rational person is fed up.
Yeah. And, of course, there's some people that...
ignorant are the ones that they don't understand it. They don't even realize it's going on. They're that unaware, that stupid.
Blissfully disconnected. They're either still working, and it's like the rest of the world just is not even existing unless it's a sporting event, unless it's a movie, or some degenerate some form of degenerate programming that's on the airwaves. It's fascinating.
It's sad.
Fascinating, sad, it's scary. It's so many different things all at the same time. I mean, they said, may you live in interesting times. Well, that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, all right, Jimmy, I will be in touch. I will send you some information, reach out to Clint on an invite, and let's start the process of combining our efforts.
All right.
And tell Jordy I said hello.
I will.
Okay.
I'll probably be messaging him tomorrow.
Sounds good. Tell him I said hello, and that I hope he's well, and to reach out to me. Whenever.
And to check out that message I left to you also.
Okay, absolutely. I will do that.
All right.
Jimmy, I'll be in touch, man. Thanks so much for being here tonight.
Sure thing. Thank you. It was a pleasure,
absolutely.
As always.
Yep, same here.
And good luck with your new program.
I think it's working out fine. We'll get more of an audience. I'm going to get this program over to UCY, so people will hear this at some point, one of the holiday weekends or something when I can't do a show. This will be one of the programs.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Have a good night.
Good night.
Yep. Good night. All right. So that is the first episode of the reality check, and we are going to, as I said, do many different things on this platform over the next the rest of this year, and stay tuned and never stop searching for reality.